PK in the No Podcast for March 24th, 2005.
Good afternoon. This is Gigi Sohn. I'm the president and co-founder of Public Knowledge. Our first item is Grokster Day is coming fast. Save Betamax. The excitement is building to the March 29th Grokster oral argument at the Supreme Court, even though everyone recognizes that almost any decision will be taken to Congress. Public Knowledge President Gigi B. Sohn, that's me, told the Consumer Electronics Association conference called IP and Creativity on March 16th that even before the oral argument, the entertainment industries are working Capitol Hill to lay the groundwork for legislation, regardless of how the Supreme Court decision comes out. The CEA event was the highest-profile gathering in the pre-oral argument phase of the current discussion. It generated a lot of attention, particularly the, quote, Clash of the Titans, close quote, closing panel, which featured CEA President Gary Shapiro, Net Coalition General Counsel Markham Erickson, Motion Picture Association of America President Dan Glickman, and Recording Industry Association of America Chairman Mitch Bainwall. Bainwall, who made a forceful argument for his side of the debate, said he couldn't understand why Shapiro and others on the opposite side of the Grokster case thought the content community wanted to do away with the infringement standard from the 1984 Sony Betamax decision. Shapiro replied, quote, I read your brief, close quote. Erickson highlighted the importance of the case by noting that as important as the First Amendment is to Hollywood, the Betamax decision is to the consumer electronics and technology industries. When Bainwall argued repeatedly that the government had entered the case on his side, Shapiro responded that a group of distinguished computer scientists has filed a brief on CEA's side, arguing the government didn't understand how the Internet worked. On the panel and in separate speeches, Shapiro pressed the argument that intellectual property was a misnomer and that copyrighted material didn't equate to more traditional forms of property. Other panelists had some cogent observations during the day. Stacey Rumenap, deputy director of the American Conservative Union, noted that while the content industry and its allies protest what they contend is a large amount of pornography on peer-to-peer networks, the recording industry's own product is not so clean. She read some of the lyrics from the rapper 50 Cent's hit In Da Club, which are full of references to sex and drugs. The most definitive observation went to NBA owner technologist Mark Cuban, who said, quote, if Grokster loses, we're in deep shit, close quote. Also in the pre-Grokster run-up, the Heritage Foundation on March 15th sponsored a forum with former Solicitor General Theodore Olson and Utah Attorney General Mark Shurtleff, along with former Attorney General Edwin Meese III. There was much hand-wringing about theft of property and the alleged prevalence of pornography on peer-to-peer networks, and a good deal of quoting of the movie Pirates of the Caribbean. There were no representatives from the pro-Betamax side on any of the panels. The last word in pre-oral argument Gabfest went to the Washington Legal Foundation, which sponsored a panel on March 24th. This one featured a debate between David Israelite, formerly of the Justice Department and now president of the National Music Publishers Association, Alan Davidson of the Center for Democracy and Technology, and Jim Berger of Dow Lonis and Albertson. Again, there was much discussion of child pornography and theft by Israelite, with replies by Davidson and Berger that the issue was an attempt to stifle technology. The learned analysis will continue until after the court oral argument. There will be two events we've heard of, both at 4 p.m. on March 29th. This is following the arguments and PK's party in honor of EFF and other tech side participants in the Grokster case. The Georgetown University Law Center will have a discussion on the case featuring PK President Gigi Sohn, Jim Berger, Fred Von Lohman of EFF, Jim DeLong of the Progress and Freedom Foundation, Jonathan Band of the law firm Morrison & Forster, and Barbara Comstock, formerly of the Justice Department and now with the law firm of Blank, Rome, and Kaminsky. The center is at 600 New Jersey Avenue Northwest, near Capitol Hill. The George Washington University Law School will hold its own panel with EFF counsel Cindy Cohn, Grokster attorney Michael Page of Kecker and Van Nest, Register of Copyrights Mary Beth Peters, and Justin Hughes of the Cardozo Law School. The session will be held on the fifth floor at 716 20th Street, Northwest. On April 30th, the Stanford Law Center for Internet and Society will host a discussion on cyber law in the Supreme Court. PK President Gigi Sohn will participate with a host of other luminaries.
To find out more of the details, head over to publicknowledge.org/news/in-the-know.
Our next item is entitled Orphan Works Comments Keep Coming In. The orphanworks.org site, sponsored by PK, EFF, and Free Culture, is proving to be a fruitful source of comments for the Copyright Office in its proceeding to figure out how to deal with works whose copyright holder cannot be located. So far, more than 500 comments have been submitted to the Copyright Office, and the deadline isn't until 5 p.m. tomorrow. That's March 25th. More than 400 comments have been submitted through the orphanworks.org site alone. A number of comments are expected to endorse in some fashion a proposal put together by American University law professor Peter Yazzie and his students at the Glushko Samuelson Intellectual Property Law Clinic that calls for a defense against copyright infringement liability if someone made a reasonable effort to find the copyright holder. PK will file its own comment, also endorsing most of the clinic's proposal, but with our own suggestions that authors and creators file with the Copyright Office a public, quote, statement of intent, close quote, to use a work, and that they file a sworn statement setting out the actions they took to find the copyright holder. There are sure to be any number of proposals, but we expect that quite a few will center on the idea that liability for an artist using an orphan work should be limited. Reply comments will be due on May 9th.
To find out more of the details, head over to publicknowledge.org/news/in-the-know.
Our next item is entitled, Round 2 Begins for Boucher Doolittle. Representatives Rick Boucher, a Democrat from Virginia, and John Doolittle, Republican from California, along with House Energy and Commerce Committee Chairman Joe Barton, Republican of Texas, reintroduced their legislation to codify the Sony Betamax decision. This is a modified version of their bill introduced in the last Congress, entitled H.R. 107. Like that bill, this year's bill, entitled H.R. 1201, would also reinstate fair use rights that the sponsors argue were taken away in the Digital Millennium Copyright Act of 1998. Boucher and Doolittle are now trying to round up co-sponsors. In a letter sent to other members of the House, they argue that as a result of the DMCA, quote, powerful media companies were given the legal tools to restrict and to prevent altogether, close quote, the making of fair use of copies of digital work for non-commercial purposes. In their letter, Boucher and Doolittle said that they want to make sure that someone can buy a CD at a store, record it onto his computer, and move the songs to an iPod. For a mother to be able to share an excerpt from an electronic book with the son serving in Iraq. For a student to be able to copy a portion of an historic speech from an electronic encyclopedia into an electronic report for class. And for a computer science professor to work with students to evaluate encryption technology. Let your member of Congress know you support H.R. 1201 and that you want him or her to co-sponsor it. Also on the legislative front, the full House has yet to take up S-167, the Family Entertainment and Copyright Act, also known as the FECA Act. The bill was approved by the House Judiciary Committee on March 9th, but the formal committee report hasn't been filed. That needs to be done before the bill goes to the floor. The bill was also referred to the House Administration Committee, which has jurisdiction over the Library of Congress, for the film preservation parts of the bill. That committee hasn't yet acted on the legislation.
To find out more of the details, Head over to publicknowledge.org/news/in-the-know.
Our final item is called New Broadcast Flag Court Filings Due. PK and our allies in the broadcast flag case have been ordered by the U.S. Appeals Court for the D.C. Circuit to submit additional material to document why we should have legal standing to bring the challenge to the FCC rule. At the oral argument on the case on February 22nd, Judge David B. Sentell strongly argued that Public Knowledge and our allies didn't have the legal right to bring the case against the FCC because we had not adequately demonstrated that the broadcast flag harmed our members. The situation is unusual because the FCC didn't challenge our standing, and the MPAA raised it only in passing. The court issued an order March 15th asking for support for the argument that we have standing to bring the case, meaning we have to provide information from individuals and institutions that would be harmed if the rule goes into effect. The briefs from our side are due March 29th. What a day. The FCC and MPAA have 2 weeks after that to file an answer. The court order can be found at http://www.publicknowledge.org/pdf/bf_order_on_standing_2005-0315.pdf. And now a word from our sponsors. The work PK is doing to protect the free flow of information and sharing of knowledge is vital to a free democracy. You can help. Support PK now at http://www.publicknowledge.org/takeaction/donate. It's quick and easy. Briefly, Public Knowledge joined the Consumer Project on Technology and the Electronic Frontier Foundation on an amicus brief submitted to the U.S. Supreme Court on a key issue of patent protection. At issue in the case, Merck KGA versus Integra Life Sciences Limited and the Burnham Institute is whether discoveries made in the early experimental stage of drug research is protected by patent. We're on the side of Merck, which wanted to use some early findings that could be used to inhibit growth of cancerous tumors. Our brief was ably written by Joshua D. Sarnoff and his students at the Glushko Samuelson Intellectual Property Law Clinic at the Washington College of Law, American University.
Public Knowledge keeps you up to date with RSS. We have a number of different feeds to add to your favorite news aggregator. To find out more about all the feeds we offer, go to publicknowledge.org/about/feeds.
And finally, for the best in blogging, www.godwinslaw.org by PK Legal Director Mike Godwin. From ruminations on Tarzan to plots against America to experiments with BitTorrent, it's all here.
The music excerpts you've heard during this podcast were provided by Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution License. In order of performance, those songs and performers were Chocolate Galliant, Bon Martini Bomb, found on Yo, D, O, Over, Play Album. You can find more information at odooverplay.com. Waiter Dory 2, by Cornelius, found on the Wired CD, RIP. Sample, Mesh, Share, Album. You can find more information about that song on creativecommons.org. DC-3000, by Thievery Corporation, also found on the Wired CD, RIP, Sample, Mesh, Share, Album. Oslodom, by Gilberto Gil, also found on the Wired CD, RIP, Sample, Mesh, Share, Album. We'll be right back.